Podcasting is a complicated profession, and that's why we're here to discuss Star Wars Tales of the Underworld, which is aired on Disney+. My name is Dan Moore, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Tony Sindelar, is here. Hi, Tony.
Hello, nerds. Good to be back.
Kat Benish is also here. Hi, Kat.
Hello. Did you miss us?
Are you talking to me and Tony, or are you talking to the audience?
It's really up to everyone's imagination. Where, just ask yourself, where are you in this moment? Who do you miss? Who would be better if they were in your life right now and right into us?
Where are you, boy? You're here with me.
How many people just turned off their podcast and did something with their life? That's the problem with being an effective self-help podcast, is that eventually you
help
don't
them.
Have any.
Yeah.
Well, then they don't need you, which is why... No one has ever done that.
We are the opposite of whatever a self-help podcast is. A self-destruction podcast.
I was going to be like, Dan, they have a word for that. It's self-harm. It's not good.
Yeah.
More like a kinder, friendlier version.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to be like, oh, what about harming other people?
Do you remember the TV show Portlandia?
I never really watched it.
I made you watch a couple episodes.
It. Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I think about the Battlestar Galactica episode on a regular basis. Where the premise is basically
a
couple watching Battlestar Galactica and then just keeps binging it nonstop. They lose their jobs. They just keep watching. And then they get to the end and there's no more. And then they have to track down Ronald D. Moore to finish it. But they end up finding it the wrong Ronald D. Moore.
Yes, they kidnap or they kidnap interrogate him, or show up at someone's house who is not Ron Moore. And the real Ron Moore has a cameo in it.
It's great.
Anyway.
But that could be the kind of destruction we do.
We've probably done that.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Dan used to have a podcast where he joked about kidnapping all the time. It was a different time. People don't write in.
No. I thought about binging, not kidnapping. Don't kidnap. Just
binging.
Sorry. Let's be clear here.
It was a simpler time when kidnapping was still
humorous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Humorous.
Crimes
against person. Yeah.
We're here to discuss Tales of the Underworld. Tales of the Underworld is the third installment of these short 6-episode. Hi.
Just offering my opinion early. Keep
going.
Wow.
We had Tales of the Jedi. We had Tales of the Empire. Now we have Tales of the Underworld, which is two pairs of stories. The first three episodes deal with fan favorite and presumed dead assassin, Asajj Ventress. And the second three deal with...
Dave Filoni favorite.
With a personality, Cad Bane.
Now, these were released on May 4th, 2025. Which it seems to be now kind of a thing now that, because there is no current ongoing Star Wars animated show. We've had some gaps here and there, but for a while, we kind of always had something, right? We had Clone Wars for a long time, and we had Bad Batch, we had Rebels, we had Resistance. Now we have nothing. But they got to shovel something to us on May the 4th. So last year we got Tales of the Empire. This year we got Tales of the Underworld. It's nice to see your animated Star Wars world again. But it's got that classic Doctor Who problem where if you only get like little drips of stuff like once every year, it kind of puts a lot of a heavy burden on those handful of episodes to like. Is this a good for a year's supply of animated Star Wars entertainment? And Kat feels...
Well, I like the first three. I think those were enjoyable. I think the second three were a hot mess and were painful to watch.
I don't think there's anything like structurally wrong with these second three episodes. It's just about people
boring.
That we don't like. Like, there's nothing... I think I can
say some nice things about them, but in general,
I think they look fine. I think the idea behind it is not unreasonable. It's like a revenge story, whatever. But I just don't. The characters are not.
It was a combination of noir and western, and it was weird.
That's kind of interesting, right? Noir and western mashing those together in a Star Wars.
I kind of like that, but I don't like Cad Bane that much.
I don't think it went anywhere, but I thought that was a neat idea to start from.
Cad Bane, my favorite episode, we're just starting in the back, right? My favorite episode is, and I'm sure we'll retell the plot, but it's been a while since I remember. My favorite Cad Bane episode is the one where he and Obi-Wan have to work together to get through like the obstacle of death. And I think they had a really great chemistry. They're fun and they're interesting. Like that, I really like Cad Bane.
You didn't
Bane
look
that.
At that and you're like, what if Cad Bane was a kid and Obi-Wan wasn't here? Was not what you were thinking when you saw that episode.
I just...
yeah.
It felt very tropish. It felt very, and then the
it's
kid,
extremely
the shooting
tropish.
Your dad in front of your kid. It's just like, yeah, what no, it's, are you I mean, doing?
It's unapologetically oh. tropish.
And again, with the pregnant lady, I was like, oh, I bet she's pregnant.
Yep, check.
Once again.
Technically, there are three episodes, but we have mushed them together. I mean, they're only, what, like 11 to 15 minutes
tops,
each? Yeah, 15 minutes with credits. So it's, you know, they're not long. Which is kind of, in some ways, kind of a problem with some of these, in that, like, why did you chunk these three things, right?
They're essentially almost like 1 hour-long episode, right? Like,
you know, so some stuff I like about it, we get a Star Wars story that's set on a planet that we don't recognize.
That was cool.
I don't even know if it's named, so maybe it's where Cad Bane grew up, which maybe is like a Duros planet.
I think it is
unclear.
Duro, I think. It is
yeah. Duro? Okay. And it's kind of an urban setting, and it mingles together these kind of like gangstery stories, like your Goodfellas and those kind of stories with your Western stuff. But it's weird because there's a lot of like simple tropes, which, you know, I think Star Wars goes to a lot, but there's not anything like super layered on top of it. And it does not hold up to close inspection in terms of like, you know, there's two guys from a bad neighborhood and one's going to become a career criminal and one's going to become a cop. And there's basically only one cop at a time in this neighborhood / town, and when they meet up again, he's in uniform as a cop but he doesn't realize that, and you know, there's a love interest, and then there's a kid, and you know, people get shot. So
the part I'm remembering now, that my favorite part of these episodes is that they keep warning the marshal, like, Cad Bane's gonna come for you, and the guy's like, I don't think so, I think it's gonna be fine. Like, four people are like, you should probably leave. And he's like, no, he couldn't,
like,
possibly
be, like,
he's still in prison,
leaving.
He got out of prison 5 minutes ago, but he couldn't be coming here. He's coming here right
he's
now
here,
we've seen him at the spaceport.
Yeah. His friends are waiting for him at the spaceport. They're holding up a sign that says Cad Bane, and they've got guns stacked out waiting for him.
Have you guys ever seen The Man Who Shot the Liberty Valance? It's like one of my all-time favorite westerns. I feel like I might be totally misremembering. It feels like a somewhat similar plot. Anyways, it's fine. If neither of you remember it, it's
Jimmy
not
Stewart.
Worth it.
I mean, it is
pretty sure. Yeah.
Oh, it like is 80 years ago western now. Thing where like. The thing Lord. Happens, and the bad guy is coming back to town, and the sheriff is just like, "Well, I'm going to be here," and you know.
Yeah, I agree. But it ends
unsatisfying.
Yeah, dourly. I mean, you know, he kills the cop because he's Cad Bane, and we need to have his. It's about him. This is the thing for me.
No one looked at Cad Bane except Dave Filoni and was like, "Tell us about that guy.
But more
what's his backstory?"
Yeah. For me, it's more you have to work. Making a villain compelling as a hero is hard.
Very
you
hard.
Can do it. It has been done well in several circumstances.
Wicked, great example.
I think Ventress is even more successful than this.
Ewok, also good.
But like,
and Wicked, of course.
Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Other side.
I mean, here's my question. It's bounty hunters. Bounty hunting is a complicated profession.
Well, they're great characters, right? And they're the gray, not great. But with Cad Bane, to exactly your point, Dan, they don't try to make him empathetic. They actually to make him less empathetic. And the only tragedy there is, I guess, like, he kills his best friend. He loses his girl, and his own son doesn't want to be with him. End scene. We're like, what am I watching, and why did I choose to watch this?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about Cad Bane, like, and I'm thinking, because we see the live action version of him I forget if that's the Mandalorian or the Book of Boba Fett.
I think it's the Mandalorian.
I thought it was Obi-Wan.
It's not that.
No, he shows up and
it's
fights
on Tatooine.
Timothy Oliphant.
He fights Timothy Oliphant. It's on Tatooine. That's why you're thinking of another show set on Tatooine.
I think it's the Mandalorian.
It's the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And he's there. And, you know, you go back earlier than that to Clone Wars. And remember, he has a poor, sappy, friendly little robot that he has to, like, be mean to all the time to remind you
that
Cad Bane...
Leave him? at some point?
Unclear.
Oh, okay.
Now that's a story you want to hear.
That's what I yeah.
Did that robot get a self-esteem and leave? Because he's just mean to a kindly robot for episodes and episodes and episodes, and it's like, yeah, we get it. He's not nice. He's mean to a robot.
Yeah.
That's basically a puppy dog.
That's the problem, right? It's like you fundamentally risk the fact that it turns out like a character doesn't. There's no depth there, right? And I think that's the Boba Fett problem too. It's like Boba Fett is a cool dude when you know very little about him, but the more you know about him, the less cool he is.
I mean, he's a guy in cool armor. Does armor count as a personality? Technically, no.
He snorts lizards in the desert, and like that to me is still pretty cool.
But yeah, I mean, I think they've done some remarkable jobs over the years, occasionally making villains interesting.
I think
Maul is a great example.
But they make Maul by making it, he's a complicated. He turns out he's actually nice and he does good things to helping Ezra. Right?
Sort of.
But still, like, you don't make a character interesting by making them more like, if they're already evil, you don't make them interesting, make more evil. If they're good, you think they're actually bad, like, thinking of Jude Law, that character becomes interesting. They're morally gray. They're ambiguous. Yeah. But just making them, like, a bad person who does bad things and then does more bad things is like, I don't know why I'm here.
It's the trend line there.
And especially...
Not great.
So, and I guess this is where I admit I am not well-versed in Westerns, but, you know, Dave Filoni created a bunch of bounty hunter characters / fleshed out a bunch of bounty hunter characters in Clone Wars, and many of them are from basically taking Western tropes.
Yeah.
And my understanding was Cad Bane is it the Lee Marvin character from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Yeah, ugly
who's
yeah.
just, like, the mean guy in a black hat, who, I've seen that movie... And it's, you know, that's a good movie, but I don't really remember anything about the personality of that guy other than...
He has a hat.
And a mustache.
He's mean. Well, he owns a hat. Classic hat ownership right there.
I did love, and I think we talked about this in the last episode or two ago, that Tony, you very clearly said the line, like, I'm not here to learn the backstory of a hat. And,
which is, I was deriding Indiana Jones.
And then, in this episode by Cad Bane, we got the backstory
of that hat. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, I was interested in the character who hired them. He seemed interesting. Like, I want to learn
the
more.
The gangster Laszlo?
Yeah.
I was surprised that he did not make it past the first episode, effectively, right?
It's like, who's he picking up the urchins and working them?
Yeah.
And, like,
and because otherwise we'll get mail, the character you're looking for, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, is played by Lee Van Cleef, not Lee Marvin.
Oh, sorry, Lee Marvin. You know who I think? Is Lee Marvin in...
Dirt Dozen.
Yeah, I was going to say he's in the one that's the Seven Samurai, but they're cowboys.
Nope, that's the Magnificent Seven, Lee Marvin. Not in that one.
I feel like we should become like one, if there's a Star Wars drought, we should just watch a lot of Westerns and Samurai movies.
There
become
are some
experts on the
just
tropes.
So we're clear.
There are some great Westerns.
Damn.
I love Westerns. I went through an entire set, like, years when all I wanted to do were watch the Westerns.
I don't think I'm that boring to ever do that yet. But okay, yeah, we get it. You're all horse people. Sorry, centaurs. But just so we're clear before we get mail, I know the Dirty Dozen is not a Western also.
You mean Cheaper by the Dozen?
Cheaper by the Dozen? Isn't that the one that's written by Ian Fleming?
I'm so far down in this rabbit hole now. We're getting so much mail. Anyway, all right, should we talk about our verdict on that one was not great,
not good, should have been a show not about great. Laszlo and or
anything else.
Needs more Laszlo, screams a complicated profession. Dave Filoni says I'm on it.
Do you want to know
why
how far back that hat can go?
Oh man, yeah. It's like we should do the same thing they did with what's this, Andor's gun, right? We'll go back on the hat.
Yeah, that hat originated thousands of years earlier.
It's actually with the original
it's a
Jedi
force,
War.
Yeah.
Yes, a Force hat.
Oh, man. I would watch that.
Man.
Damn it. That sounds cool.
Oh, man. A show where Exar Kun wears a hat? Sign me up.
Who wears a hat?
He's one
Exar
of the old ancient
Jedi. He's from, like, the EU. It goes that goes to the Jedi Academy?
No, that goes way earlier than that.
Oh,
the Jedi Academy.
But he's referenced the Jedi Academy.
Well, sure, but I've read about
it. Is that
his...
not where he originated?
He originates in some spooky comic books about the war between
the Jedi. Is that
the
original
Jedi.
Tales of the Jedi?
Yes, that's
yes,
the original
that
was,
Tales
which,
of the Jedi, yeah.
The Tales of the Jedi comic, which I may have somewhere, which are like the war between the Jedi and the Sith, when the Sith were like a people, and I don't know, they're riding dinosaurs and stuff, and their lightsaber. Anyway, Star Wars EU, always a good time.
Okay, yeah. Let's not go into the path of like, how can Sith be both a people and the religion, and there will only be two.
To you, but it's not. You won't make you feel any better.
Yeah,
I mean,
fine.
The answer is where they were people, and then they're all gone. And yeah. Now, so now it's, like, it lives on as a thing.
Oh, no. Exar Kun got canonized.
Wait, really?
He's a saint
what?
Now.
Really?
No, just he's back. Oh. No, but he is in the canon.
Good.
They make a reference in the Wikipedia page to saying, during the Imperial era, crime lord Dryden Voss owned a desk.
I know that name. I don't know Dryden
That's
Voss.
That's Jude Law from Solo.
Yes, thank you.
No, Paul Bettany. Paul Bettany?
I was like, Jude Law is not in
Paul
Solo.
Bettany.
Jude Law is
I got
in...
Paul Bettany and Jude Law confused for a second.
They're very similar. Is that unfair?
Yeah. You could swap them
it's
out.
The cheekbones.
Dryden Voss owned a desk with an obsidian slab as base, which he had plundered from a Sith temple. The stone was carved with warding spells as well as an inscription reading, "Our temple honoring Sith Lord Exar Kun."
Sorry, let me just pause there. It's this fine. Character has been canonized because someone translated it. Yes. Arabesh?
Correct.
Okay.
Because there's basically an Easter egg.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah, I don't think that really counts as canon, just
well,
so we're clear.
It's in Wikipedia, and who are we to disagree with them?
I guess. I think it's important for us to mention, it'll probably be available a couple days after you're listening to this, that we did do a Star Wars-themed episode of the game show Mind Meld, featuring two-thirds of the Complicated Profession group. Dan was not available because he was at Worldwide Developer Con.
I won. Just the record shows, I won.
I don't think that is accurate, but feel free to listen to the episode and come to your own determinations about a game in which we frequently talk about the score. But usually in Mind Meld, there's not arguing about things. The Star Wars episode of it is very, very different. And I regret that the first question in Mind Meld was about the EU. Anyway.
I'm just also going to note, because I want the points for it. The character of Exar Kun was created by author Kevin J. Anderson,
hey.
Who used the Dark Lord Spear as a major antagonist for his 1994 Jedi Academy trilogy.
I read those books.
Okay. I mean, those were like the second series to come out after Zahn. So
we have
not much predates that, except for the old like 1980s.
Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
We did, Dan. We did have an argument on Mind Meld about like what counts as the first piece of EU media, which is like an argument where like
no one wins.
Yeah. No one wins.
Yeah,
like,
I also tried the question.
No one comes out of that feeling great.
And what
novelization?
Counts as, what also counts as
I was
EU.
Wondering, does the Marvel comics count as...
Yeah, they aren't... I think they're their own continuity until they later get backported in, but you could. They do... I mean, they started getting printed in the 70s, but the novelization would have come out at the same time.
Kat posed the deep philosophical question. What is the EU?
Right.
Which is, of course, not the point of the
well,
question
is, like, Thrawn was EU and has now been canonized, right? So is he still considered EU?
The answer, according to Mind Meld, spoiler, many people said yes.
Yes.
Mind Meld, not a canonical source.
Tales of the Jedi, by the way, was soon after, and they brought him into that. So those came out pretty close.
Yeah, there were all these great Dark Horse comics back in the day.
Yeah, I remember those.
So. My brother had a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Shall we talk about a series of three episodes that's somewhat better than this?
Yeah, this was fun. I love anything that gets me with the witches. I love the witches.
I will say, I think we're just leading off of these three episodes we enjoyed more. The choice to have an episode start by depicting a scene from a book that almost everyone watching it has not read is an interesting choice.
What do you
Can
mean?
We agree?
I had no idea it was from a book. I thought it was very... Explain the fact we had... It assumes
so
Asajj
Ventress dies in a book. And there's
a scene...
You can
die in books?
Wait,
yeah,
so...
If you die in the book, you die in real life.
Well, I guess I had to explain... Because for those of us who just watch like not the live action, the video stuff, the talkies. We saw Ventress in... We saw her in Bad Batch, and then what was the last
We saw her in Bad Batch.
And what would you see before that?
Clone Wars.
Clone Wars.
And but so when
we
she
don't
appeared
know
in
she
Bad
was dead.
Batch. Well, when she appeared in Bad Batch, the internet lit up, which is to say the Star Wars like churn garbage blogs lit up with how can this be? She is dead. She was killed in a canonical book.
But she is a Dathomir witch, and at that point, very excited to see how you can survive.
But basically this, so I mean, let me just wait. I think that the answer, the more cynical answer is Dave Filoni created Asajj Ventress, made Clone Wars, thought he was done with that, maybe with that character / doesn't have creative control over everything Star Wars, and somebody else got permission to kill her off in a book. And Dave Filoni basically was like,
no way.
But no way, I'm undoing that. So the very first scene in this is Quinlan Voss.
I was much more confused about Quinlan Voss being there.
Well, because he's in the book.
Yeah.
He's in the book. So Quinlan Voss is like carrying her, brings her back to Dathomir and like places her in the, you
and
know,
clearly
the
they have
waters
a
or what.
Which is news yes. to us.
Which I think it was briefly referenced in some other stuff. But yeah, okay. Again, yes. This is like the last scene of the book. But in the book, she's dead. And then it's like, but then she gets better because we have three episodes to fill with her. So it's, I just, mainly it was like, we didn't read the book, so we didn't know she's dead. Why do you have this thing where she's dead? Like, it's...
But they had I feel like they had to answer that, because I feel like if the internet did light up, it was nice to explain it. Like, so, but let's, okay, none of us have read the books, but let's pretend we had read the books. Let's just pretend. Just hypothetical, we okay. read the books.
I mean, I've read other Star Wars books recently, yeah. Yes.
We would have been very upset they didn't explain how she came back, right? We'd have been like, what happened to her? So I feel like they had to answer that question for those the people who have read the books. It's not just about us guys. It's about the other fans, too.
There are other fans.
I guess it just feels like this weird mangling of... Like, basically, I feel like this was, you know... And I guess this goes back to our question of, like, how we feel about the EU and how messy and how, you know, we were theoretically, like, in a simpler time now where it's like we chopped everything away.
Yeah.
And now we have a new canon. And, yeah, we're going to, guess what? We're going to pick and choose the bits we like from the EU and bring them back for you guys. But this was basically like, oh, we've now been doing this long enough. We did something we don't like anymore.
Yeah.
And we're going to undo it
in a really
sloppy, heavy-handed way.
Two things about that. One, the... So part of it, that book was kind of a Clone Wars arc that never got filmed. That was the inspiration. Like originally they wanted to make that as like part of an animated show, mm-hmm. but they ran out of, you know, the show got canceled multiple times.
I guess,
you know?
I almost wish they had made that, but probably they can't fit that into three episodes and they only had three episodes for a song.
And then the other part of it is
six episodes doing that.
It's a little, yeah. I think it's also a little like, yes, we retcon them being alive again. Is this any worse than anything that has ever happened in comic books?
No.
But this is pretty par for the course.
But also, that is not the place you want to go to. Speaking as someone who reads a lot of comic books and regularly has to consult Wikipedia to figure out what the heck is going on, like that is not a place. Let me say, there's a lot of things that are great about comic books, but they are one of the most impenetrable mediums to go into, you go into it and it's like, I have no idea who half these people are. I don't know what's going on. In order to figure out what's going on, I have to have been reading this comic book for a year, as well as several other connected titles. So I'm just saying, Dan, you don't want to be like comic books.
No,
don't
I'm
be
not
like comic
suggesting
books.
I'm not suggesting that that's the way.
You're ruining the podcast, Dan.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what the hell is going on.
This is what was happening to me on the show. I agree with you guys both about the comics, but I will say, I do feel like I give Dathomir Witches a pass. And may I refer you to the great piece of Ahsoka, where literally the witches are communicating through like subspace frequencies across the galaxy to a different galaxy. So like, and also we have Force ghosts. Like, this is just a Force ghost that's real. So like, they can just... Dathomir Witches, I just feel like you can do what you want, and it works. Like, it adds the mystique of, we don't really know what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Like, it is a little weird to drop you in the deep end there and be like, okay, she's coming back to life. But at the same time, it feels like.
But it's mainly like, did we know she was dead? You know?
Yeah, that's fair. I would have.
Yeah, I mean, what would you do? Include a clip where she dies, or
you know what? I almost, if they had just started like she's working in that shop doing security for the whatever they are, they're like, it's like a space bus depot.
Yeah,
it almost would have been better at that. So it's just like, we start here, and again, I like these three episodes. Why am I so hung up on the first?
Well,
three
minutes? So
clearly there's some issues here.
The first 30 seconds. So I like the overall part of this, which is essentially she saves a Padawan who the stormtroopers are hunted down. I did have a continuity question there, because when does this take place?
Because they're stormtroopers.
They're stormtroopers, not clone troopers. But I assume this is, we started seeing the stormtroopers introduced in Bad Batch. I assume this is before she goes to meet Omega in Bad
I assume
Batch.
That too.
I assume so too.
Because I think she's still debating whether or not she's going to pursue Quinlan.
Which is also a little weird with where these three episodes end. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Because she and her pal ride off into the sunset and it's like, well, where's that guy?
What's his name again?
Lyko.
Yeah. And I will say the actor who voices Lyko is one of the kids from Reservation Dogs yeah. which is a really great show. And he's great. And guess what? He's great in Reservation Dogs. He's great as a young, you know, plucky,
I think,
Padawan with a, you know, heart of gold and perhaps the confidence of youth.
My favorite sort of like tie into the universe here is I love the path as a concept. That's something that's been like dropped here and there in various media over the past several years. We saw it in Obi-Wan, shows up in the Jedi games, like the idea that there is a, you know, refuge for the Jedi or for sensitive people who are
also
trying to get away.
Conveniently, there's way more people that got out from Order 66 than previously, you know. Yeah, it depends.
Exactly. We don't know how many people there were to begin with, how many of them are Jedi versus how many of them are Force sensitive.
Imperial reports. We're all done.
Yeah. It will be interesting eventually. I do hope they eventually tell that story, and they're going to have to ask the question of, well, why didn't anyone from the path come help with A New Hope? Although I am looking forward to the retelling of A New Hope, where there are Jedi all the way who have actually done all the work to like help Luke. But again, we give Luke all the credit. But I like the idea that the story that we just saw came before Bad Batch because it helps continue this cadence of adventures, like helping young kids, like and explains
and
like why she's why she's wanting to support Omega.
And this is an interesting story as opposed to the Cad Bane story, where it's like, let us take this character who this is a character who's, you know what, like a secondary character in Clone Wars, but we check in with all over the place, who. Boy, does she have a bouncy path through the Star Wars galaxy, right? I mean, you know, she's been an assassin, she's been a bounty hunter, she's been off on her own, and now she's good guy, question mark?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the bits of that that involve, like, she's got some, if not friends, then, like, colleagues, but she doesn't entirely trust them. There's a point where they try to betray her because they're like, this is the only way for us to recoup our investment here. I think that whole bit, there's a sort of just a you know, a tentpole sequence where they're trying to like steal stuff from the shield generators that are going on Death Stars, and of course the thing that you've wanted to happen all along happens, which is one of them falls and starts rolling like a giant ball of doom, which is just, I don't know, it was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. And I like that the resolution of this is she is trying to track down the path because eventually she finds out that Voss is associated with it, which is a thing I believe we learned in Obi-Wan. He sees his name. But it has that nice bittersweet ending where she doesn't end up going after him because she's like, I don't even know, you know, kind of who I am or what our relationship would be. And he thinks I'm dead. So like, you know,
and I like the part like where that. You know, she goes to there's like the old man living in the woods.
Yes.
Who's a separatist, like, you know, who kind of still fighting the last war. And like, it would be almost easy if she stuck to who she was. Cause I mean, that's kind of what these three episodes are at least asking, is like, who is Asajj Ventress?
Yeah.
The answer is she's working on it. You know, that I like it. I even like that, you know, we've got they're called raiders, but it turns out they're just local people who don't want you to take their water. And the kid finds kind of the Jedi friendship solution for talking it out. And, you know, which is, that's a fun duality to have that paired with Asajj Ventress, a person who has been a murderous assassin for a while.
And that's why I feel like it has like something to say. Like, it has both a story to say about the path, it has a story to say about Asajj Ventress, it has a story to say, there's just, you learn a lot and it's not just enjoyable.
If she perfect animation.
Well, and I going back to the issue you had at the very top, Tony, which is not liking the fact that she's brought back to life, which is fine. You can have that opinion. I'm kidding. It's fine. They say, whoever is the Dathomir sort of spirits say that she has to give something up.
She has to make a choice.
Makes a choice. And it's unclear. Dan's opinion at the time was if she jumped in time and didn't come back exactly when she left, Or is there something is like, is she ever allowed to see Quinlan Vos again? Like, it's unclear what that is.
In definition, she does. She definitely comes back. She doesn't come back immediately. It's not like they just walked off and she's like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Like,
whoa, wait.
Yeah. Oh. I could go, but
I thought there was kind of like the fairy tale thing of like, you can't be with Quinlan Vos. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What does that mean? Does that mean he'll drop dead if he sees you,
your
love is cursed?
My fun casting bit here, Tony, the grandfather in that third episode is voiced by Tony Amendola, who also in the Jedi games plays Master Cordova, who is a pretty significant character in there. So double duty there as a couple different Star Wars characters.
Overall,
I don't know. I mean, I think if we had gotten 6 episodes of Asajj Ventress instead of 3 episodes of Asajj Ventress and 3 episodes of Cad Bane, I think I would have been pretty happy.
I would have, yeah. I mean, I think that's what they should have done.
Part of me wonders if they're doing all these, like, little segments to be like, which of these have legs, right? Like, you know, we did a little bit of Barriss and we did, Morgan Elsbeth and we did Dooku and we did Ahsoka. And obviously the answer is Ahsoka because...
I mean, the Cad Bane, I feel like Tales... Yeah, I'm trying to separate the Asajj Ventress stuff from this. I just feel like Tales of the Underworld is like... rates way lower than Tales of the Empire and Tales of the Jedi.
The Morgan Elsbeth stuff in Tales of the Empire isn't great either.
No.
But the Barriss stuff was really good.
I just remember the Barriss stuff being very good, yeah. And also, have we talked about the fact that, is it the Darth Maul series which is coming back on animation?
Yeah, Shadow Lord, yeah. There was an interview recently with Sam Witwer, who voices him, who talked a little bit about, like...
Do we know what time period it's going to be taking place in?
It'll be before... We have to, because he is also very dead.
Well, is he? He's also from Dathomir. Yeah.
I think the answer is it's going to be about his time, mostly, like...
Cat, the big difference, he has no friends to take him back to Dathomir. That's the problem. You need to have at least one friend to take you back, to resurrect you.
And I think it's post... I think it's post Clone Wars, but before Rebels. Basically, it's the years in between where he's like.
Where is it relative to
Crimson Dawn?
Because remember, he appears in Solo.
He does. He's still running Crimson Dawn at that point. I think it involves that. It's that era ish because he's talking about Sam Witwer talks a little bit about like you've got this guy and he signs up to be part of like you know the Sith and then Palpatine betrays him and he's like man I don't know so I don't know I like Sam Witwer and I like that animation style, and I think you know that character has a lot of continuity with the other animated stuff, and I think that character as conceived in animation is interesting, but I think a lot of it sort of depends on how are they hooking you. But I can see it as him being like scheming crime lord, like trying to do everything behind the scenes.
If it's basically Solo the animated series, I think this could be really fun.
But we don't see where he ends up, like when we know the last we see him, you know, being a crime boss in Solo. And then when he shows up in Rebels, he's pretending to be this old man,
and
right?
He's
like
he's
all
planet.
By himself.
Yeah.
And he's all
planet.
By himself.
Like
clearly
something bad
something,
happened.
I mean, a lot of time has passed, right?
Yes.
But yes, he has gone from being a crime lord to being like hermit. Mad Jedi hermit.
He's pulling like an Obi-Wan, but in
but not great. He's not, you know.
At that point, does he have his like little crab legs?
No, that's earlier on. He has he still has robot legs, but they're like humanoid robot legs.
We'll see.
There's even a little bit of confusing stuff with where they leave him at the end of Clone Wars and where he is in Solo. Because I thought he had like a criminal enterprise with his brother, and then doesn't it fall apart? But then I guess then he builds a new criminal enterprise, and that one's called Crimson Dawn. So because that's the name of the one in Solo.
I think once again the challenge is like, that thing was done in parts, right? Because where it ends at the end of the original Clone Wars run, and then he comes back to fight Ahsoka, right on Mandalore, and.
Done in parts, just like Darth Maul.
Yeah. That's it called Done in Parts, the Darth Maul story.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate that they took a character that, you know, no one was asking to resurrect and did some interesting things with him.
Yeah.
In lots of different ways, similar to Asajj Ventress. So
a part of me also thinks they really like Sam Witwer, which is like we need to keep Sam employed.
I'm a little worried about a Darth Maul show. That would not be at the top of my card.
I agree. There's other things I would rather see, but...
You know, it's interesting even, I wonder about, and like, especially with this particular arc that we watched that included basically a scene from a book, and we have the thing in Ahsoka where they have kind of scenes in live action that had previously been shown in animation. Mm. And I was wondering, like, do you think that they would ever be in a place where they would take a book or a comic sequence and make an animation of that? Especially because you could do like The Rise of Thrawn,
yeah,
and things like that. And the answer may just be like, no, we want to keep doing new stuff. And you know, the people who are doing animation want to tell their own stories versus adapt existing stories.
I think that could be interesting. I think it's also possible the it feels like several times they say, oh, this is a story about so and so, but you get into it, it's like, wait, no, like,
yeah,
Andor isn't all about Andor. What are you actually telling in the story? Is like, could this this is where it's going with the Solo Com, is like, I think a story that would be interesting is talking about basically the rise of all the criminal enterprises,
yeah,
through the perspective of Darth Maul, because he's an established animation character versus doing one for Solo. And maybe it feels like they probably had a number of stories they could go tell that path. TBD what it actually is about versus just like the video diaries of Darth Maul.
Yeah, just nobody meeting minutes of him running his criminal enterprise.
Hey Siri, order more coffee. Yeah,
I mean, we're gonna watch it no matter what because we're contractually obligated to do so.
Cool. So these were our. So we liked Ventress. We did not like. I guess. Where would we rank the Cad Bane on the Book of Boba Fett, Mandalorian? Episode season 3 Ahsoka ranking. I would, oh god, it was short.
Yeah,
which I appreciate.
Like, if you're gonna get stabbed, make it a brief stab.
I think I would rank it below Book of Boba Fett because I'm willing to rewatch Book of Boba Fett just because it was weird.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd rewatch Cad Bane, even though Tony, thank you for watching it twice.
Yeah, I watched it twice because we kept rescheduling when we talked about it, and I regret that, and will carry my animosity toward Dan and Kat until I die because of that.
That's fair.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, Dan, Kat, where do you rank it? Dan's reading stuff.
I was looking at it. I was trying to figure out if there was anything else happening in Star Wars world.
Late breaking news.
I liked the Asajj Ventress stuff. I would put it up there with, it's probably not quite as good as the Barriss stuff. Maybe not quite as good as the Ahsoka or even the Dooku stuff.
But Count Dooku quality?
The Dooku stuff was pretty good. I thought the Dooku stuff was interesting because that was something that we had never seen anything about. And I kind of enjoyed like the idea that he was a reputable...
Is that the one with Yaddle?
Yes.
That was great.
Yeah, I did like that. I did like that. But I would put it... I put it above the Morgan Elsbeth stuff, and I definitely put it way above the Cad Bane stuff.
Yeah. How about you, Tony?
I don't want to think about it.
That's fair. That's fair.
You know, and probably I won't, knowing me. I mean, you know, it's mainly just, I think my main thing is disappointment that we're only going to get. It seems like the new supply route is 6 episodes a year, and they're not necessarily going to be good.
Well, where do you think they go next? So we've done Jedi, Tales of the Jedi, Empire, Underworld.
Can we go back to Tales of the Clones and Tales of the Clone Wars?
Droids?
Tales of the Droids would be pretty good. Trails of the Droids would be pretty good.
Oh, man, we can get AZ-3 in there and Young Chopper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what is Chopper up to when everyone else is?
He's just a little version of himself. I was thinking.
I just want an entire episode with the toaster droids. No talking, just squeaking.
That would be like pretty great. Decks. Actually, that would be pretty great. I was going to say, Tales of the New Republic maybe feels like a thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems surprising that they haven't set anything post Return of the Jedi in the animated world yet.
In general, they're trying to stay, it seems like, out of that space quite a bit.
Yeah.
The only thing that sort of falls into that
Resistance was a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
Resistance was pre. There's actually, I mean, there's a
it
huge
is Poe Dameron
there.
Cameo in there,
right? I mean, and all the Mandalorian stuff takes place in that era,
true.
Right?
Yes,
you got
right,
a
yeah.
big chunk of that. I was thinking during the trilogy too.
Yeah,
like the only thing that's happened we've really seen lately during the trilogy is the Star Wars Outlaws takes place in between.
Yeah. I mean, again, thinking about taking existing material and adapting it, especially if you. What if you went back to old EU stuff and decided what to do? What if they took the Tales of the Mos Eisley Cantina?
I was thinking about that. Yeah.
That was a good one.
Ridiculous anthology short story where everybody in the Mos Eisley Cantina got a short story. And it's like, what if you picked the four best ones of those and made animations?
Yeah, I remember
those.
You those know, fun.
And you don't have to adapt them one for one. But hey,
and
everyone's
you have
looking
all
for
your
more
Tatooine sets.
Yeah, I was going to say everyone's looking for more Tatooine content. Fill me up with Tatooine
Poor
content. That's what the people, people want.
So I guess listeners, our general recommendation is watch the Ventress series, skip the Cad Bane series.
Unless you really love Cad Bane.
If you've been waiting for 6 weeks to decide whether to watch this show or not.
Now you know. Mm-hmm. Dan, did we get any, unless anyone has any other opinions on this or any topics?
On any topics.
Do we have any listener mail?
We have a little bit of listener mail. Let's see here. Reminder that if you would like to send us mail, you can reach us at acp@theincomparable.com or on Mastodon at acp@zeppelin.flights.
Or find Dan in the real world.
Yeah.
Like that one guy at Worldwide Developer Con. So shout out to that guy.
Hi, guy.
You know who you are.
Thanks for saying hi. I don't know your name, but Dan told me that you... talk to him.
He was very
excited.
That's the kind of
behavior I want to encourage.
I did have a very nice listener come up to me at the WWC and tell me that
ACP
was their favorite podcast.
Oh, well, that seems suspect.
They also said, I started listening when it was just you and Tony, but I think the addition of Kat really made the show.
Yay! Wait, did they really say that? You didn't tell me that till now!
Yeah,
it's more fun to tell you in person.
Oh, that's so good.
See, now Kat's
I said
happy.
It definitely became more unhinged at that point. all right. Let's see. Zedman sent me a link saying that this was worth a look, and it was a Phineas and Ferb Star Wars episode. I have never seen a single episode of Phineas and Ferb.
I'm
willing to say I'm not going to start now. Sorry. But thank you for suggesting it. Rockwell
we may
wrote
watch
in,
it well hang on I know nothing about Phineas and Ferb.
Rockwell wrote, congratulations on the most unhinged episode in recent history.
I was going to write in to
correct Tony on the proper name of Ultimate Frisbee, but he well actually'd himself first.
That's as I do.
Hope you can find time for some special episodes in the current drought of new Star Wars content. It could be fun to hear pitches for side stories that take place during the OG trilogy, drawing from prequel characters or wherever else.
What if we all wrote our own fanfic and that read aloud on this podcast?
Dan, you don't have enough outlets for your writing. Would you like to generate some more?
Dan, I'm sure you wrote some Star Wars stories
unlicensed.
In like, your teenager.
I absolutely did, but let's not.
Yeah.
The less said about them, the better.
Yeah, let's be clear. Dan has shame, as he should. Kat, you would commit to the idea, run out of time, and submit something that came out of Gen AI. And I would not involve myself in anything to do with this at a protest.
Yeah, that's 100% accurate.
That's who we are.
100%.
And as long as we know who we are, there's not a problem.
Ideas. Tons of ideas. Not always the best follow through.
Mm-hmm. Chad wrote in over at Blue Sky, where we're at acp.theincomparable.com. Lolling at the extra helping of chaos for this episode. Back in 2016, I was very good about avoiding spoilers, and because it was a very special occasion, I went all out with 3 IMAX and crazy sounds. Yeah, we had to leave after 20 minutes. # responsible parenting. That was the daughter's first movie. He linked to his tweet that was essentially, daughter's first movie is Rogue One in 3D IMAX. She is not quite 5. Cost us $60, but they gave us a nice poster. That's a rough one. It's a rough one.
A plus for effort, though.
And I don't remember now if I mentioned this on the show itself, but I did just find out that a bunch of podcasts got invited to Lucasfilm. They got to see a really cool room. So if anybody wants to hook us up with that, you know where to find us.
You want to see a really cool room.
I want to see a cool Star Wars room at Lucasfilm.
Oh, a specific room. Because it did sound just like you were asking to see, want to see the cool rooms.
Dan shows up at Lucasfilm. I am here for your cool room.
Anyone who's an architect, if you work at Crate and Barrel, you have access to a cool room.
I deal with snacks.
Dan Morin is interested. Yeah.
I'm just saying it's like a cool Star Wars room. Themed meeting room that's inside.
That is objectively cool.
That's all I'm saying.
But I'm just saying, when you're describing a cool room, just this is how we can tell you don't work at a, you haven't had a real job in 20 years. When you start out with a cool room that you then describe as meeting room. Kat, how do you feel about meeting rooms? Kat, you have an honest to goodness job, unlike some people.
Any cool meeting room is one that has a window and it has a glass wall and ideally a whiteboard and a working AV system. To me, that is a very cool room.
The coolest meeting room is one that works. Yes. You know what I think the coolest meeting room is?
Tell me.
No meeting room.
I took you there, Tony. So, that's good.
Yeah. But anyway, get a job, Dan. or help us escape from ours. One of those.
I'm
sorry. I'm just envisioning Dan coming to our workplace and be like, "Woohoo! You have a very cool meeting room. This is nice."
I think our meeting rooms when I worked in an office were named after. Were they named after sci-fi?
I was waiting for Dan to say something defensive about. I've seen TV. I know what meetings rooms look like. You don't remember for your meeting?
I think one of them was called Spock. I think there might have been one called Yoda too.
That's cool.
It was a long time
ago. You had that.
Yeah.
I got my severance package in one of those rooms.
This was Matt. Sorry, I apologize. Yeah. I don't not to dig too deep into Dan's LinkedIn profile. I was thinking of a place that you worked in person before that.
That's really cool meeting rooms.
Yeah, I have never worked anywhere that did not just have a number designation for a room.
My first instinct there is that's when they like handed you the Severance DVDs. That took me seconds to realize like what's going on there. Here are your screeners. Here's your Severance package.
And also goodbye.
Apologies. You have been impacted by this box set.
Layoffs are fun, aren't they? All right.
You're over it. It's been more than a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. When you told me to get a job, I hesitated to point out that this is kind of my job.
Yeah, I wouldn't brag about that. Dan, the person that was laid off is dead now. You're a new person.
Also, sales are gone.
I just want to, in my head, that sounded more uplifting. I realize hearing the words, which is something I just don't bother usually to do, but I listened to them then, and I was like, those are not having the effect that they intended. You're fine. You're better than fine. You have done things that you probably would never have been able to do if you were still doing that job.
I like this devolved into a pep talk, though.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Good stuff helps. Let's just go back stuff me.
Yeah. Yeah, does anyone else need help? Write in for Tony advice? Oh, God. Do not do that, people. Seek professional or even better
semi-professional.
Look, helping is a complicated profession.
All right. I think we're done for the moment. We'll be back.
But we do take co-payments.
Yes. Yeah. Please. If you want to give us a co-payment, go to theincomparable.com/members and sign up to be a member.
Or buy a Bunky Dunko shirt. I don't care.
Or buy a Bunky Dunko shirt.
Bunky Dunko.
Do you like my marketing? Shirt. I don't care. So, whatever. You do you.
We'll be back at some point to talk about something else. I don't know. We haven't figured out what that is yet.
If you have ideas, write in. Many people have, but we're always still accepting new ideas.
Many people have, but we didn't like those ideas, so keep writing.
Honestly, I think it's slightly more professional to say we don't know what we're doing than to commit to something we then don't do.
So, Tony,
yeah,
podcasting is a complicated profession.
Yeah.
Mm. All right.
I think people like this one. We did a lot of good work.
I think we did some solid work here.
All right.
Thank you, everybody out there who listening. Everyone there
listening.
Who listening.
Dan, you're already going to have to edit this. Start over.
Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. Thank you, everybody out there, for supporting the show by being a member. We really appreciate it. By buying a t-shirt. We really appreciate that, too. And thank you, most of all, to my co-host, Tony Sindelar. Thank you for being here.
I thought you were going to list Kat first, just because that seemed like where you'd start if you're thinking.
I always start with the same person that I introduced first.
Okay.
Yeah, even I knew that.
You got introduced first at the top of the show, so you get introduced first on the,
okay,
on the outro.
First in, first out. Got it.
Jesus, we've done like 50 episodes of this. Get with the program.
We've done like over 100
we've
episodes.
We've done like 100.
No, no. There have been 100 episodes of the show we have not done
like 100
collectively.
Episodes.
Okay. Cap Benish, always a pleasure.
I thought you were going to say I like most of my co-hosts, but yeah, no.
Why did Dan knock everything off of his desk as he said that?
I was going to say something very like sappy and sweet, like a hey, goodbyes. I don't know, we're going to talk together, everyone like
you guys
this. And,
live
like,
together.
Dan and I don't talk except on podcasts.
That's not
really
true.
That's very unhealthy.
It is. Tony, this is why we need your help.
Why? I'm here to help, but B, like that's not a good, if you are coming to me for help, like you're in a real, just I'm telling people broadly, like,
so we could do like a new segment which is basically like ask a manager, but just like write in with your problem and Tony will give you his snap judgment opinion about how
what does this have to do with Star Wars.
I want to be clear, I have a website where I give advice on like the few things I am qualified to give advice on, also the Star Wars podcast. And I don't I'm not looking to expand.
No, I think Kat's suggesting you need to look for synergies between the
yeah,
two.
Yeah, no, but I feel like we channeled, I feel like the Jedi always give help when they're not asked for it.
There was a thing for a long time where people were trying to ask me, what would a Dungeon Master do in this situation that has nothing to do with Dungeon Mastering? And I would say funny things, and then people got bored of that. So, you know, we can go back to that.
I do. When you said ask a manager, my first thought was ask a Jedi.
Yeah, ask a Jedi.
Ask a manager is a very popular
ask a Jedi. I know of it, but I'm saying ask Jedi give the worst advice.
People that have jobs know about it, Dan.
Also, I feel like Jedi are being the worst at also, we talk about this of like relationship advice, because they're always like, don't, attachments are bad. Don't have attachments. Yeah. It's like, not healthy. That's really not healthy. Not healthy.
Also, not none, like, but there are definitely people you shouldn't have attachments to.
Counting the days, Dan. Yeah, I'm going to...
That was all after the goodbye. Anyways, thank you, everybody.
Wait,
sorry.
Is this still
you
the
said
podcast?
Something, you started to say you were going to say something zappy, and then it went another place.
I was going to say, attacks, I hate goodbyes, okay. But thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. We'll see you next time, but until then... May the Force be with you.
I did start an interesting thread on the Incomparable, where I asked people what is their Star Wars character that they unreasonably hate.
Mm.
So,
what's the best answer so far?
I don't. I always think about Jane Ritt really hates Yoda.
Jane Ritt doesn't really hate Yoda.
She really hates Yoda, and I think that's kind of funny because Yoda is beloved, but also her reasons for hating it
are
for hating Yoda are legit.
Yeah,
track. That he is a horrible gremlin who does not help people when he should, and is bad at giving advice, and is like living in a swamp while like a Death Star is being built.
Also, he can talk forward.
He can.
He grieves.
Yeah.
Backwards.
Also, he think about like he is clearly capable of knowing who Luke Skywalker is, but he griefs him for like the first like hour that they spend together. Yeah, not great, Yoda. No, I don't know. I think lots of people don't care for C-3PO, but I think I have an unreasonable level of
I love
C-3PO. That's unfortunate. So
I don't know if I come up with an unreasonable hatred of one.
I
think all my
hatred is a strong word. If there's someone that you think you dislike more, I mean, let me say, for some people, it might be Cad Bane right now. Mm. So
Cad Bane is
I don't like Jango Fett.
That's fine. That's legit. I will say, I think there was a thing when the prequels were coming out where we were all supposed to like Jango Fett a lot. There was a Jango Fett video game that was like a big deal that I don't think actually did that well. You were really supposed to like Jango Fett just based on the idea that he was like Boba Fett, but not busted up. And that the homework is not there.
Yeah.
I speaking of homework is not there, and I'm going to go, I can't believe we're still talking after the end of the show. I didn't manage to say goodbye yet. This is a problem.
Like a spell.
The homework was not there. Anakin Skywalker in basically any form. Cannot stand him. Cannot stand
Dan, you're like, Dan, I can't think of anyone I dislike. Oh yeah, what about the main character?
Darth Vader then?
You did say in any form.
He's a little overrated, I think. I don't know. He's a little overrated.
Cat looks like
That's like the premise of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I just
didn't have how do you feel about James Earl Jones as a person?
Oh, I rest in peace.
That was a rest trap question.
Yeah. No, I just the prequels are so bad that they make me hate that character. He's so I just can picture that Hayden Christensen's smarmy looks.
Oh god.
And I'm like, oh god, someone just slapped that guy. How did that guy you're telling me that guy murdered children? I guess yes, I guess I can see it.
I'll show you a guy that can murder children, says Dan Moore, picking up an axe.
Anyway,
and we're done.
And we're done. Don't kill kids.
The Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.
Okay. Back when Batman Begins came out, I'm like, ooh, gritty movies. I still was like, oh, they're going to remake the original Star Wars series in our lifetimes. It's just going to be
that is the question.
It's going to be like,
will that happen?
Can I point out, by the way, we talked about this on Biff today. This week is the 20th anniversary of Batman Begins. I have crumbled into dust.
That doesn't make any sense. No, Dan.
That movie is 20 years
old.
When
that movie came out, I think I told you guys, there are a couple movies that when I saw the first time, I was like, I have to watch that movie immediately again. It's that movie and Muppet Treasure Island.
A lot of crossover.
Man in the Iron Mask. No, The Count of Monte Cristo. Those are three movies that, as soon as I watched, I had to rewatch.
Okay, your three favorite movies and
to
name
the Dunkirk
third one?
Is one of them.
The three movies I had to immediately watch as soon as I saw
it. Oh, did you?
Yeah, I immediately rewatched Batman Begins. I immediately watched Muppet Treasure Island, and I immediately rewatched
I thought you hated Batman.
Is it the...
You were uncertain about where Batman got his powers from before.
I don't know. The Batman Begins was good. I like Batman Begins. Okay. I didn't like the new DC. The new DC is stupid.
Oh, no. It is. I mean, 100%. I mean,
he's better than Superman.
I think the Batman. I actually thought that movie was much better than I expected it to be.
I would take Batman over Superman any day.
Well, yeah, because you hate immigrants. I could have said refugees. I mean, I will say, I think the Christopher Nolan Batman movies are probably some of Christopher Nolan's, I'm not going to say worst work, but like least good work.
No.
But the point is, I think that everything else he has done, like Dunkirk, I'm going to keep bringing it back, is so high. Like,
he did Dunkirk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you not know who did your favorite movie?
It's not favorite movie, it's movie of the year.
It's the one with Mark Rylance. That's what makes the movie.
Is Mark Rylance in that?
Yeah.
Are you sure Mark Rylance is in that?
He's the boat captain, right?
Oh, yeah. He is of the little fishing boat. He is the boat
fishing
captain.
Like, it's the main point of the movie.
No.
Okay. I'm just going to tell you, he's probably like...
Fourth?
He's sixth listed.
Okay. I was going to say, you got Tom Hardy. Yeah, Kenneth
Harry
Branagh.
Harry Styles. Fionn Whitehead. Cillian Murphy. Jack Loden. Tom Hardy. Kenneth Branagh. Okay. And then Mark Rylance.
Surprisingly, a few women.
Are there any? I see none listed.
I don't think so.
Did they have dialogue?
One of my still favorite supercuts, I'm sure you've seen, Tony, is like every time a woman talks to another, they recut Lord of the Rings, all three movies, to just be when the two women talk to each other.
I forgot that Jack Lloyd was in Dunkirk, but I don't think anybody was at that
Batman point. I enjoy all of Christopher Nolan's Batman movies, and the ones that other people don't super like. I mean, some of them are
better than
kind of sloppy,
but
I want to go back. Yeah. Like, I think there's been, I love the Batman movies. Like, I loved all of the ones with Keaton, and then all the ones with Clooney. I've seen all those.
Okay,
all the ones with Clooney.
There is one with two Clooney.
And also, that is not a good movie.
It was Keaton. Who was the other Batman then?
Kilmer.
Kilmer.
Yeah.
Who was with Mr. Freeze?
That was Clooney.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who was the one with Poison
Ivy? I don't know
Ivy?
If you know that.
That was also Clooney.
Also, same movie. That was the thing where this was our early in our superhero movie thing, where the idea was you kept making the movie more complicated, and so that it would have more villains in it, right?
Yeah, that's the one that had four villains, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I also have the one with Adam West. Like, I love all of the incarnations of Batman until we get to... And then Batman ceases for me after Batman Begins.
So you just don't like Ben Affleck?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I'm just, that's...
You're not alone in that, probably, but...
Yeah, you're not, I mean, I don't...
Yeah,
I'm trying to
think. And I still think those are better Spider-Man movies. Spider-Man's awful.
You liked at least one of the Spider-Man movies.
You hate all Spider-Mans?
I don't like Tom McGuire. I don't like the third one. Who's the third one? Andrew Garfield?
He's the second one.
Yeah,
but
he's
yes.
No. Mm-mm.
You don't like.
And I like Tom Holland the first two times. Is that actually a Tom Holland?
It is Tom Holland.
Tom okay. Holland's the third one. How do you feel about Miles Morales?
Oh, that he's good, but he's not. He is Spider-Man, but that doesn't count.
That's the point. That's the point of the movie.
Yeah. Those are good. Those are good.
I do so think confusing. Batman Begins holds up pretty well. Like, yeah, we were talking about it today, so. And I think
I've watched
that,
it a lot.
I haven't watched it recently,
how
but
many times
like,
have you watched it? Tony, you said watch it a lot?
I mean, I own it on DVD. I watched it a lot in that
when,
era.
Sorry, Tony, I need to interrupt you. When is the last time you watched a movie on a DVD?
There was, at some point in a couple years back, okay. Our internet was down.
Just checking.
And so we watched a movie on DVD. Because we didn't have access to streaming.
Dan, how many Blu-rays do you have in Laserdiscs?
Well, I don't have very many Blu-rays, maybe two or three.
But you have them.
Yeah.
Do we have a Blu-ray?
I
player?
Will say, yeah, I feel like
the Xbox plays.
I feel like I dodged a bullet by when Blu-rays came out, and yeah. I was like, nah.
I ended up
and
with two.
Everybody
or three.
Was like, no, you got to buy this thing on Blu-ray. And I'm like, it can't be that much better. No. And I mainly appreciate, like, you know, all the DVDs I have, I watched multiple times back when DVDs were a thing.
Yeah, same.
But like Blu-rays, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they look very nice, but that seemed like
the only movies.
Not a thing I needed. But Dan, how many HD DVDs do you have?
None. Okay. The only
I still
Blu-rays...
have several VHS tapes though in the house.
That's true.
I did get rid of all those eventually.
The only Blu-rays I think I have are I think
Lawrence
I have the
of Arabia.
The Veronica Mars movie because I backed it on Kickstarter and they sent it to you. Jesus Christ. What do you mean? You like that show? What are you making the eyes for?
I didn't say anything.
You're so weird. And Lawrence of Arabia, because Lawrence of Arabia looks great.
Can I ask a stupid question about Ben Affleck?
There are no stupid questions about Ben Affleck. Only stupid answers.
You're right, Jiggly. What's his best movie?
I have not seen that
I don't
one.
Think it's pronounced Jiggly.
I don't think it is. It's pronounced like... I think it's... Yeah, it's like an Italian name. Which, because I have not actually seen all of the DC movies because they're so
wow.
Bad.
I'm actually kind of surprised.
So
you only made me see Wonder Woman, and even that. I was well, like, Dan keeps trying to make me watch the Superman trailers thinking this is going to be the one that I like. Is no, I don't like them.
It's got a dog.
Does Kat even really particularly care about dogs?
I think she likes dogs.
Will I watch a 3-hour DC movie because there's a dog in it? No,
it's probably
no,
not
I
three hours.
Briefly. Also, technically, I don't think he's a dog because he's like an alien.
See? Not a real dog.
He's just an alien. Also like
wow,
a dog.
Tony.
He's not a... He's dog not, shaming. Like, no, I mean, I think he's Crypto the Super Dog. It's a different thing. But which movies is Ben Affleck play Batman in? Because I don't think I've seen all of them.
Batman versus Superman.
Which doesn't make
okay,
sense.
Okay, I don't...
It's a Batman.
I don't remember anything about that except the well, because it's like a misunderstanding. I mean, I remember at the end when they're like Martha, and that's like supposed to be, and it's like, okay, really, your whole thing is that there's a coincidence.
It's that both of their moms are also are named Martha.
That's why they're fighting.
No. That's where they decide to stop fighting at the end of the movie, 2 hours after they've been like throwing buildings at each other. Yeah.
Just. Okay, this is the whole like trope. Like,
there's
the,
no
the,
way
like,
I can make
guys
this better.
Is it gay to like women? Of like, guys, is it gay to like just talk to each other?
Oh,
just
yeah.
Have a conversation.
Yep.
I don't remember the setup for why they're mad at each other. I mean, I think there's a whole thing where because there's one of the Superman movies where the Kryptonians basically like destroy Metropolis.
That's Man of
and
Steel,
Batman,
and they
and Batman's
then,
mad about that.
Yeah,
in the
Bruce
next
Wayne's
movie?
Mad about that because he's like, oh, these guys are too powerful. And I'm angry because I couldn't
so
stop
I'm
them.
So I'm going to beat them up in my
well,
super
I'm gonna,
suit.
I feel that they are, you know, like need to be taken down a notch.
And this is why like I want to watch Tom Holland go to high school. That's all I want to watch. It's such a better movie. It's such a better movie.
So you've only answered one. That's one movie I have seen.
The other one
I don't
is...
even remember Batman like doing something.
Wasn't
movie.
The
it's
thing,
just...
he was, what was the one recently where he was like, he becomes a bad guy? They keep trying to make him a bad guy.
Who is he?
Batman.
I mean,
the most
not,
recent. What was the most
he's
recent
not
Batman?
Great. The Batman.
Yeah, that one was that the one with Robert Pattinson?
That, yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually
that
a
good.
That's
that
a decent
was actually
movie,
a decent,
actually.
That's a decent movie.
It's no, he's like the thing that that
Kat,
movie
Kat,
nails
Kat,
more than any other.
Kat, you're going to wear out that look.
Yeah.
I haven't yet.
The thing that that movie nails better than probably anyone since the Bale movies is like it actually makes him a detective. Like he's trying to solve a crime through most of the movie and he's like looking for clues and like doing detective work and there's
which,
at least
that,
one hilarious bit in that movie and I was like that was good it was well deployed humor
what was the humor tell me the joke
I don't know that I can convey it. It involves a misunderstanding of something as they're trying to decipher a clue, and another character points out that they miss something extremely obvious and they are dumb, which is pretty funny. It has some good performances.
Yeah.
You get yourself a Jeffrey Wright in there. Yeah.
Do you like Jeffrey Wright?
Yeah. As Gordon?
As Gordon.
Yeah,
I am surprised that Robert Pattinson's had such a career.
He turns out to be a much weirder dude, I think, and kind of more interesting.
Oh, we always knew he was weird.
Yeah, but more...
He was weird.
But I mean, I think he's
more
actually
interesting
like
than I think he was
actor.
Cast as.
Mm. Yes.
Whatever happened to Jacob?
That guy was not more interesting.
Do we know that? I don't know.
That guy was so uninteresting that I believe the most interesting thing I know about
movies?
Him... No. Is that
maybe,
he married...
Next season
that
of,
actor's name is Taylor Lautner, I think. And he married a woman
Another
named Taylor.
Taylor. Oh.